Hover over me, Holy Spirit. Obeyed my heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come, and fill me now. O Heavenly Father, give me a word to encourage your people. Give me a word to strengthen myself. Give us all a word so that when Jesus comes, we'll be saved because of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our message today is taken from the book of John. John was one of the sons of Zebedee. And in his waning years, some scholars believed just before he wrote Revelation, someone asked him to be an eyewitness and chronicle what he knew about Jesus. So John very, very skillfully wrote this book of John, they believed, or dictated this book of John. And like any good teacher or any good writer, John started with a thesis statement. You know if you're gonna write any paper or do any research, you must first establish your hypothesis and then support your hypothesis. Or if you're writing an essay, you make your thesis statement, and then everything that follows backs up your thesis statement. So John started out by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And he said the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And he said, without him was not anything made that was made. And you hear from the ringing of that statement, or the thesis statement, what was accounted for in Genesis, where he says he made everything out of nothing. And then out of nothing, he made something, and then he took the dust and he made man. And this is a thesis statement that John was trying to establish. And he did this very skillfully. He picked seven incidences of miracles and 27 incidences of discourses. And he showed how these miracles and the manifestation of Jesus' divinity led him into problem with the Jews. It's one of these stories that I have picked today. And pardon my medicalization of this. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, he went to Jerusalem before, you recall, and he saw them buying and selling in the temple. And he took a scourge, and he whipped them out of the temple. Now, here he comes up to Jerusalem again, but this time, he stopped by the sheep gate. The Bible says, there was a pool, and some translation says by the sheep market, and some said by the sheep gate, because there were some people in the church who believed when you bring in your sacrifice, for it to be valued more, they washed the sheep so that your sacrifice would be more valuable. So they made merchandise off of the people. No wonder Jesus whipped them the first time. Here they were buying and they were selling by the sheep gate. It would not surprise me that those who were buying sheep were the ones who made the porches for the sick. Because there were some people who were always making merchandise off of God's people. They started a rumor that whenever by the pool, whenever the water is troubled, who gets in first gets saved. Read the text carefully. It really does not affirm that was true. It was a rumor. God save us from rumors. It was a rumor that when you get down, whoever get in first was healed. It doesn't seem to me that God operates that way. It doesn't seem to me that it's the law of the jungle. Even among the strongest, among the weak, get healed first. That does not seem to be the case. But they started this rumor that if you get in first, you will be healed. You know, I tell you, one writer says, if we speak that which only we know and experience to be the truth, if we speak that which we know and experience to be the truth, great would be the silence. Did you see them together? No. Were you there? No. Does it sound rational? No. But they said, who is they? Well, they said, who is they? Some sick people. You saw them healed when the water was troubled? No. I never saw them healed, but I heard a tumult. I heard a lot of noise, a lot of screaming and emotion. And Benny just laid his hands on them, and some of them fell back. And what happened the next day? I don't know. It's rumored. It's rumored that they were healed. I heard it through the grapevine. What if I told you that there was a narrow stream that came up from the mountain and brought living water down to the pool? No wonder it says at a certain season, because when the snow melts and at the season the water comes up in the pool, so it bubbles. And they all believed, because they saw the bubbling, that it was so. What if I tell you that God's angels don't operate that way? Because you see, the law of the jungle says only the fittest would survive. But if you notice, when Jesus came, he never went to the fittest one of them. He went to the weakest one of them. So you start to question. But when you are desperate, you will try anything that you hear. You will try every bomb that you find in Gilead. Nobody believes in herbs more than I do. But I tell you, there are too many herbalists. And every time they produce an herb, it's from some country you never heard about. It's never local. And not only the herbalists, there are some physicians too that their medication never seems to work. You have tried everything. Every herb, every chemo, every radiation, every second opinion. But you seem to be living on rumors because you're desperate. And the guy came by the pool. I suggest that a lot of sick people should be drinking some more water. They should be hanging out by some pool so that they can get some more water. Because sometimes it is good for you to drink. Try the simple things before you try the complex. And your doctor would welcome you knowing that you tried all of these little things first. Before you come to get lap band, try walking. You took 20 years to gain that weight. 5 pounds per year times 20, it's 100. Now you want to lose 100 pounds in 6 weeks. It doesn't seem to be right to me. Gastric bypass and these overnight things, you need to try the simple first. Hang out by the pool. Drink some extra water before you get to the doctor. And if you don't, they will make merchandise off of you. I think that some doctors should be paid the same way mechanics are paid. If you don't fix it, you don't get paid. There laid a great multitude of folks. The listing of the diseases did not seem to be inclusive of everything that was there. It just says the blind and the halt and the lame. It's not an inclusive list, because I guarantee you that there were some other people there who were not lame, nor halt, nor blind. Because impotent means powerless. The text seems to be leaning towards the physical, but I can assure you that they were among those who were psychologically sick. I can assure you that the demoniac should have been there, because he was also helpless. But you see, there are some people who are sick, but they don't know that they're sick. In psychology, they have what they call neurosis and psychosis. The neurotic has an insight that he's sick. So he would seek help, and he will tell you that I'm depressed or I'm suffering from some kind of problem. But the psychotic, he will tell you that he's well. So he never comes to get himself healed. So it wasn't only the physical people who were sick that were there. And if you're sick long enough, there are some illnesses that is psychosomatic, meaning that your head is affecting your body. But bless your heart, there are some that is somopsychotic, that you're so sick in body that your mind gets messed up. So there were some of those there too that should have been there because they're sick. You know, I want to tell you something. The selfish should have also been there. Those people who are so obsessed, they are narcissistic. They fall under the psychotic. Selfishness is like bad breath, halitosis. You've been with it so long, you had it so long, you don't even know that you have it. Somebody has got to tell you that you're sick. You've been selfish for so long. Somebody else, and you try to stay away. Somebody else needs to tell you, you know, you need to check out the doctor. If you are spending 25% on credit cards when no bank will give you more than 2% interest, and you are buying clothes and cars and shoes to impress neighbors who don't take a look at you, you're sick. You're psychotic, because you don't even know that you need to call somebody to get you out of this. And I suggest that you should hang out by the pool. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not, he's a fool. Shun him. The list should also include the socially impotent. The socially impotent, because they're weak and they're powerless, and they're exhausted. I want to say that I think that there were a lot of black folks in this pool. Because if you are telling me. That the lame was there and the blind was there. The blind is strong physically, but he can't see. The lame is weak physically, but he can see. Why didn't the lame and the blind team up? Why didn't the blind one say to the lame, I'm going to take you in first when the water is stirred? Then when you get healed, you come looking for me. So then at the end of the day or the end of the season, if the rumor is true, we will all get healed. But because they were socially impotent, because they don't realize, Miche, that if you go to Oakwood first, when you come back, you need to help somebody else to get there. There's one problem I have with Dr. Martin Luther King's statement that he should be able to live wherever his money can take him to live. At the core, it's very selfish. It takes him, but it doesn't take the community. It takes him, but it doesn't take the community. Because at certain times, when he can get out, he left all of the other people by the pool. Powerless, helpless, because they can't move. Because he has been able to crawl out. Let me tell you what impotent means. Powerless, helpless, weak, feeble, frail, infirm, exhausted, worn out, spent, done for, prostrate, debilitated, crippled, paralyzed, fruitless, barren and sterile. If you move because you have got the little strength and you leave all of these powerless people here, how are they going to get out? No wonder the man was sick for 38 years. Because those who could have helped him or whom he could have teamed up with left. Dr. Whip and Dr. Leach. Hear what the Spirit said to the churches. The division in Seventh-day Adventist Church make us impotent. You know black folks, they sing too loud. You know white folks, they don't sing at all. Why don't the leaders make the weak, those who can't sing, team up with those who are too loud? What a choir it would be. Why can't you merge the two cultures? You go to Loma Linda, some people look at me on Sabbath day that they're dressed to go to another church on Sabbath day. They look to me like I'm a complete stranger. Socially sick in the church. Right, well, it's by the pool, right by the church. Jesus stopped by the temple. You know, I got to tell you something about the temple. That temple was so sophisticated. How it was built, there was a ramp where only the specialists, where only the theologians can enter the church. When they excavated, they found that they had ivory that was brought from Africa as carvings to decorate where the high priest was. Now, the people that entered into that part of the sanctuary were different from those who hang out by the pool. You see, those who hang out by the pool, they were dug and out. And they knew that they were dug and out. But those who entered by that special gate, they thought that they did not need, they were well enough, that they did not need anybody to make them well. You see, the sick, they know that they're sick. But those who entered this special gate, they did not know that they were sick. And they looked for a theory to heal their diseases. Somebody said about the Greeks. They said these Greeks, they seek an argument rather than medicine. When you go to them, instead of the doctor telling you take this, they try to argue with the doctor. Right? These were looking, but the people who were by the pool were looking for help from above. Because they had exhausted all of the other avenues to be healed. The ones that went in from the gate, they thought that they had it all together. There's another text where John says that the Spirit of God was there to heal them all. But only a few people got healed. Because only a few of them recognize that they were sick. Those who went in this special gate, they tried the psychotherapy and marriage counseling. They think that if they only had enough money, that they could hire a better set of doctors or doctors who are more qualified, then their positions would have been better. They did not think that they needed divine healing. They needed a theory. No wonder Jesus stopped by the pool. And I'm saying to you, the pool would have been a good place to hang out. Because I'm telling you, you needed to hang out by the pool. And I also need to hang out by the pool. Because Jesus, when Jesus came by the pool, the Bible says Jesus knew his case. Oh, thank God that Jesus knows your case. Because when Jesus, Sister White has a term that she uses, she says divinity flashes through humanity. And within a split of a second, I can hear Jesus writing on his notes, Dr. Tony, a 56-year-old African-American male that had this paralysis in his lower extremities for the past 38 years. And before he used to crawl and he used to pull himself up by his hand, but not anymore. This is Jesus writing now. Now he can't do anything for himself. At one time, it was an acute case. But now it has become a chronic case. Nothing that he can do for himself. He can hardly feed himself. He can't move anymore. And this is the person that Jesus is attracted to. Instead of going in by the nice gate into the temple, like a magnet, Jesus was drawn to where the worst of humanity. It looked as though some giant caterpillar had dipped up the worst of humanity and dropped them by the pool. And Jesus came by looking at everybody by the pool. And if he was like the angel that came down to trouble the pool, he would have looked for the one that is strongest, but not Jesus. He looked for the one that is the weakest. I'm glad about that quality about Jesus. Because when I got that quality about Jesus, I've got some hope. My condition might be the worst, but that's what attracts Jesus. Because when he is finished with me, I would be able to say, I tried all the doctors. I've tried all the theory. I've tried all of the psychosomatic diseases. I've tried drug counseling. I tried taking charcoal to pull the cocaine out of my fat cells, but it didn't work. But I came to church. I came to church one day. And in a simple act, Jesus leaned down to me. And he said a strange word. Will thou be made whole? Will thou be made whole? Wholeness is completeness, totality, allness, undivided, vigorous, flawless, independent, enlightenment, chasteness. Jesus says, will thou be made whole? I tell you, there are two instances in the Bible that I think were glorious moments. One of them was when the Lord came to Solomon. He says, Solomon, ask whatever you want. The Lord signed the check. He said to Solomon, fill in the blanks. He said, fill in the blanks. I love that part. I love when Jesus came to the man, he says, will thou be made whole? Do you want it all? Because remember now, after 38 years of being paralyzed, wife is gone, children are gone. So he's not only suffering physically, he's suffering socially. He hasn't been able to take care of himself. So he's got no money in his pocket. So he's broke. He has no place to live. And Jesus said to him, wilt thou be made whole? He says, do you want it all? Fill in the blanks. What is it that you want? I said to you, you cannot exhaust heaven's storehouse. Don't come to me. My checks are limited. checks are limited. I'm asking you, what is it that you want? Do you want it all, socially, spiritually, physically? That's what I love about Adventism. Adventism just doesn't talk about the spiritual. It lifts you up physically, intellectually, socially. It addresses everything. He's saying, do you want it all? I'm saying to our young people, what is it you want? Patrick, what is it that you want? Shondell, what is it that you want out of this life? Where's Gina? Gina, what is it that you want? I wish, my young people, where's my son? I wish that you would say, I want to be able to pay $10,000 a month tithe. Do the math. For the Lord to bless you so that you can pay $10,000 a month tithe, he has to give you $100,000 a month. Live in this little church, struggling to pay a little mortgage. We need to have some young people with some broad vision who want it all, not only physically, not only spiritually, they want financially as well, because that's the way the Lord blessed. Look how he blessed Solomon, one of the richest guys that they ever had. And then when Solomon was finished, he wrote Proverbs. And I'm saying to you, you can handle intellectual, spiritual, financial, and still come to church on Sabbath and sing praises to the Lord. You can have it all. You can have it all. You're talking to Jesus now. Fill in the blanks on the check. You just want to walk? You just want to walk? You just want to get by? No. He is saying heaven's resources is available to you. And he is saying, if even you do not have the ability, I am willing to give you the ability. I am willing to make you willing to be willing. What is it that you want? Ellen White says, higher than the highest human thoughts can reach is God's ideal for his children. You know what she said? You know that we can be in the halls of government directing legislation? Who you think you are? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that when you do your thing, they'll pick it up like Daniel and says, this is good. This is Babylonian, this is good. This is Medo-Persian, this is good. But what in the world is this? This is from Daniel. Even in a foreign country, even under adverse circumstances, even when you lack the natural ability. You ever heard about the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. You think the gifts of the Spirit is just limited to what's in there? It's whatsoever the circumstances presents. The Holy Spirit will give you the intellectual, the moral, the social, the ability to stand. Yes. This guy in Africa, he heard that the missionaries were giving out food. So they told him to bring baskets. He looked for the smallest basket that he could find in his house. And when he went, everybody who brought big baskets, they filled all of the baskets. And when he was going home, he heard them saying, people heard him say, man, I should have brought a bigger basket. Man, I should have brought a bigger basket. Man, I should have brought a bigger basket. You sit down here, your dreams are too small. Your God is too big for these small dreams that you have. You can have it all. Obama would be a joke if the Holy Spirit takes hold of you. Because when God is done with you, do you know that people who read and memorize Bible verses, they seem to have less Alzheimer's? You think that it's just a joke? It's been written. It's been written because it's the word. It's the word that's meeting the word. And it's the word that called your brain into being. So when that word meets the reality of this word, no wonder you're better than all of the Babylonians. And yet you're moral. Do you want it all? The whole thing. Don't you ever buy into this half-baked fruit that says, I am not all that I could be, but thank God I am not what I was. You've been the same way for 38 years, and you're going to say you thank God that you're not what you were? You can be better than that. He's calling on you to be better than that. Hear the man. When he starts to comprehend what Jesus was asking, the first thing he resorted to is what he is familiar with. It's institutional neurosis. You just go back to what you know all the time, all the time, all the time. He says, I have no man to put me in. I thought this was a man. I didn't know it was a woman. Most women would say, I don't have a man. Where's Sister Sandy? Every time I talk to Sister Sandy, she says, I don't have a man. I don't have a man to do this for me. You want to do this? I don't have a man. Let me tell you, my mother used to say the same thing. But after she says, I don't have a man, she says, Father, you promised to be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow. He says, I don't have a man to put me in. Now give the brother some sympathy now. He's been trying to get into the pool by himself all along for all of these years. He's been there. Now his energies is almost exhausted, and there is no strength left in him to try anymore. And Jesus is asking him if he can be made whole. And Ellen White says, at Jesus' word, he still, after all of this time of trying and failing, microbiology, he failed. Calculus, he failed. He went back the other year, he failed. He went biology, he failed. But you know what? He kept going. He kept going. Drive the nailer right, boy. Hit it on the head. Strike with all your might, boy, while the iron's red. When you work to do, boy, do it with a will. Those who reach the top, boy, first must climb the hill. Standing at the foot, boy, gazing at the sky. How can you get up, boy, if you never try? And though you stumble off, boy, never be downcast. Try and try again, boy. You will succeed at last. And Jesus came to him and Jesus says, would you be made whole? And suddenly he started to think that it's possible. After all of these years of failure, he starts saying, it is possible. Some of us, we give up too soon. This is your life. you're fighting for. You can't give up now. We're the young people. If anybody else can do it, your black cells can do it. If UCLA has 95% Oriental, your black cells can fill the five. Sometimes it's not what you have naturally. And you know, you're blessed naturally. You're blessed, and you're not the only person that's blessed. Hispanics are blessed, and the white brethren are blessed. What do you think? You're going to just sail through on flowery beds of ease? No, you must fight. You got to try and try again, boy. You will succeed at last. You just can't give up too soon when things go wrong, as they oftentimes do. When all your traveling just seems uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh. When cares are pressing you down a bit, stop. Pray you must, but my friend, don't quit. Life is weird, it has twists and turns, and we all sometimes learn. How many a fellow turn about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and a faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. But he learned too late when night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, homie. The silver tilts from the clouds of doubt. So don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Stick to the fight when your heart has hit. It's when things get worse that you must not quit. You give up too soon, and you're giving up just when the great physician now is near. Jesus leaned over to him. He leaned over to him. He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" There is a balm in Gilead. There is a great physician here. And God has been keeping a record on your struggles. And God has been monitoring all the time what he needs to do to make you whole. And here he is. You just can't give up now. I'm going to close. Go back to the story. John's thesis statement was that this Jesus is God. He is the one that made everything from nothing. And after he made something, something became dust. Honey, did you have problems dusting today? Dust is powerless. Dust is weak. Dust has no form, no shape. Dust is impotent. Hear me, church. Dust is impotent. And John said, borrowing from Genesis 1, John says, God stooped down and took dust. He took dust that was impotent, dust that was nothing, and he formed something out of dust. So watch John now trying to link John 5 with Genesis 1. That if God can bring something out of nothing, what happened to this man that he's not nothing, he's not much, but he's not nothing. And John is saying the same word that was spoken in the beginning that brought something out of nothing. This man never asked to be healed. Jesus just came by and he said to him, "Get up. Get up. Take up your bed and walk." Just like he said in the beginning, "Earth, come forth." And a planet 25,000 miles in diameter starts spinning out in space with a rectitude. It's the same that he came to the man and he says, get up. Take up your bed. Walk, man, walk. The same word. The same word. I used to wonder first where Jesus is going to find all of my being to bring me back in the resurrection. And then I saw some forensic scientists that says, if they just find two hair strands, if they just find two hair strands in the follicle, or if they don't find that, if they just can find some decayed bone, they can scratch some DNA out of it. And they can mold your DNA to bring you back. Well, my Bible says, every hair on my head is numbered. So not only when I die, but when the hair dropped out, he marked the place where the hair dropped out. My Bible tells me, he doesn't need my entire body to bring me back. He just need one hair follicle. And if even he didn't find my hair follicle, the word just says, be. Joseph, come back. And every molecule that made me, even the water that passed through me, he brought it back. And he had an imprint on my facial structure. And he found out that some teeth drop out. So you realize that your face had a certain marking where your teeth drop out. And he said, come back. And when I came back, I had the same marking. And then my brother who came back to, he said, Joe, is that you? Because of the power of the word. So when John wrote about this man that was impotent, he was talking about the divine power of God to resurrect anybody. So you have become nothing. Weak, paralyzed, and some of it has been your own doing. Because if you remember with this guy, Jesus said, you better not go back doing what you were doing, because something worse will happen to you. What he was saying is that you are the one that messed up. But let me show you something about redemptive power. Let me show you about something that you who do not think that you have any ability to do anything. Let me tell you about you who do not think that you have any moral stamina to do anything. Let me tell you about you who believe that drugs controlling you. He says, let me tell you about the redemptive power of God. That when he says to you, walk, walk, his words finds lodgment in your being. And suddenly, you start to walk straight. You don't even have the taste for drugs anymore. Suddenly, you who did not know what you want to be, start thinking that, you know, maybe I can run the general conference better than this guy who they put in there. Suddenly, you who had no idea of what H2O is, because the word find lodgment in your heart, you start saying, you know, maybe I can go to Africa and teach people about health, so that they would hear my health message but drawn to the Lord. Or I can use my voice to stand up and be a lawyer and represent those who are weak. Because the word find lodgment in my heart. And you will do like the man when you get into the temple. When you get into the temple, I can only imagine him. He's walking all the time. They said, brother, sit down. He said, no, this is the first time I've used my leg. First time I can use my leg. I'm gonna walk now, man. I'm gonna walk. Because God had done it to you. And when he's done, you would say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done.